It's good to see those who are able to be with us here. We understand there's a lot of sickness in the community and among many of our own congregation, and we just look forward to the time that we all get over that and we're all back together again. But we're thankful for your presence today and that you're able to be out with us. I've directed your attention this morning to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, and in particular, he says, he that would love life and see good days. That's what we are going to take a look at this morning. Now, for the rest of it, it says, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now we're going to notice that part of what he has to say here in 2 Peter tonight. But I submit to you that what he says before these verses, and particularly this paragraph, also applies to loving life and seeing good days. And since Valentine's Day falls on Tuesday this week, I thought it might be a good time for us to think about the subject of love, and in particular, love for our spouse and how we are to love one another as spouses and as brothers and sisters in Christ. And Peter does that in this chapter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, and beginning with verse 1, he says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they will, without the word, be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear or accompanied by reverence, your reverence for God, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair and wearing gold and putting on fine apparel. Rather, let your adornment be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid of any terror. So he addresses the wives and he says to the wives to be submissive to your own husbands, to honor your husbands as Sarah honored Abraham. And there might be some of you sitting here this morning says, well, my husband's no Abraham. That's not the point. The point is that you are to honor your husband. And if you honor your husband, you do that in view and in hope of the fact that he will become an Abraham. You know, it's difficult to assume a position of leadership, but it's easier to do when you know those you are leading are supportive of you. And wives are to support their husbands. They are to be in submission to their husbands. The way that you attracted your husband to you was perhaps through the way that you wore your hair or the clothes you wore or the jewelry that you wore. We pay a lot of attention to our outward appearance, don't we? But Peter says here, don't let your adornment be merely or just be focused on your outward adornment. Let be what attractive about you is your quiet and peaceable spirit, your demeanor, the fact that you love and support and honor your husband. You'll notice also that Paul addressed this in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 22 through 24. It says, wives, Submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. You know, a lot of times we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we read what love is, and sometimes we'll substitute the word love with your name. And so we'd say, like, Andre is patient and kind, and, you know, all of those things that we see about, or Doug is all, you know, those are my characters. And I say, well, wait a minute, no, I'm not like that. Well, that's something I need to work on, right? Well, you know, you can do the same thing with passages here like 1 Peter chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 5. That instead of wives, plug your name in there. That you are submissive. And Jocelyn is submissive to Andre. I'm just picking on them because they're the closest, I guess. And they've got a little bit more time on the wheel than these others over here are just as close, okay? I want to pick on newlyweds. But regardless of how long you've been married, this is the way that God expects us as His children to treat one another. You know, I know that you can look to the world. You can look at a magazine or listen to something on television or listen to a song on the radio or wherever it might be, and you can see how the world treats each other and maybe even what they expect of each other. But this is what God expects of us. And if you want to love life and see good days, wives, be submissive to your husbands. Honor your husbands. Lift them up. Be supportive of your husbands. Encourage them in the position and the responsibilities that they have. Now, we're not just talking about wives this morning. Peter wasn't just talking about wives. He also talked about husbands in verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding. Understand this. They are a weaker vessel, not that they're weak, but they are fragile, delicate. They are, you know, and your fragile, delicate things around the house are the things that are usually the things that we value the most. That's what he's talking about here. Value your wife. Take care of her. She's in a, make her, put her in a safe place. Let her know that she's all right and that you love her more than you love anyone else on the face of the earth. Dwell with your wife with understanding. Now, along the same line, in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul said it this way. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And so, put your name in there. Love your wife. That's not a suggestion. You know, we talk about commandments. It's a commandment. Love your wife. Have a sincere interest in the welfare of your wife. Well, how do I do that? Dwell with them with understanding. Give them honor. Treat them as a valuable, fragile vessel. So husbands ought to love their own wives as they love their own bodies. How do you treat your body, men? Do you abuse it? Do you cause pain to it? Do you make fun of it? No one ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, as the Lord nourishes and cherishes the church. We are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. All the way back to the book of Genesis. It's not good that man should be alone. God made a helper for him. Husbands, love your wives. Cherish your wife. Don't do anything to diminish her in her own eyes or in the eyes of anyone else. Speak well of her. Support her. Make her know that you love her. Don't say you love her. Let her know that you love her by the way that you treat her. And not just this Tuesday, okay, with a card or a flower or candy or any other way that the merchandising world tries to get you to express your love. No, let your love be genuine and sincere. Husbands, love your wives. Verse 33 says, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as he loves himself. Let the wife see that she respects her husband." Do you want to love life and see good days? Husbands, love your wives. Wives, be submissive. Honor your husband. He goes on to say here in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." Do you want to love life and see good days? Don't go to war with your brother or your sister in Christ. Don't hold a grudge against a brother or sister in Christ. Be of one mind. Have compassion one for another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted towards one another. Be courteous to one another. It's all about honoring each other. Don't return evil for evil. "Well, they said this about me, and so I'm going to..." No. Not returning evil for evil, nor reviling for reviling, but contrarywise, blessing. They do evil to you, you do good to them. We're not to treat them as they treat you. You are to treat them as you would want them to treat you, in hope that they would start treating you with the same love and the same honor. This is what you were called to. This is how you can inherit the blessing. You know, we cannot mistreat one another and hope to spend eternity with one another. Somebody's not going to be there. Maybe neither one of you will be there. So if I want to love life and see good days, I need to know how to treat others as I would want to be treated. I need to have a sincere interest in the welfare of others. Now, we mentioned 1 Corinthians chapter 13 at the beginning of this lesson, and I don't think any lesson on love would be complete without referring to this and reading it. 1 Corinthians 13 and verses 4 through 8, it says, "Love suffers long and is kind. Whether you're talking about wives suffering long and being kind to your husband when they're not acting as in the leadership role that perhaps they should be, suffer with them and be kind. Husbands, when your wife is having a difficult time and things aren't going exactly as you would like for them, suffer long with them and be kind. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when your brother and sister is not conducting themselves as a follower of Christ should, suffer with them and be kind. Well, why don't you tell them to suffer and be kind? I just did. Okay. Be kind to one another. Love does not envy. You know, it's not that, well, you got this new piece of clothing, so I get this new piece of clothing. No, we rejoice with those that rejoice. We weep with those who weep. They got a new car, I've got to get a new car. No, love does not envy. Love rejoices with those who rejoice. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Love doesn't go around talking about how great they are and how important they are to this situation or that situation. Or love doesn't tell his wife that you couldn't make it without me, and the wife doesn't tell the husband you couldn't make it without me. If you're truly honoring one another and loving one another, you would readily admit that I can't make it without my wife. Love does not behave rudely. Are you rude towards your husband? Are you rude toward your wife? Do you mistreat them? Dishonor them? Your brother or your sister in Christ? Are you rude toward them? Are you rude towards those in the world? Love doesn't do that. God is love, and we are followers of God, and that means that we are to follow Him in this characteristic of love. Love is not rude. Love does not seek its own. It's not selfish. It's not self-centered. It's other-centered. Primary other is God. After that comes your husband and your wife and your children, your brothers and sisters in Christ. And anyone and everyone, you're last on the list. Have you ever thought about that? You're last on the list. Our world doesn't think about in those terms these days, does it? In this world of you know, selfies and promoting self and all of that type of stuff, you know, our world is completely opposite, upside down, of what God intends for us to be. God would rather see us promoting each other and lifting up each other and bragging on each other than calling the world's attention upon what's going on in my life and whatever achievements or discomforts I'm having in my life. God would rather have us focused on others. Love is not provoked, not easily provoked. Even God can be provoked, can He? We've been seeing that with the book of Ezekiel. But love is not easily provoked. Do you have a short fuse or a long fuse? You might be saying, well, I'm long-suffering, and I'm glad that I'm long-suffering. And maybe you're sitting there saying, I've got a short fuse. You need to change that. If that's the case, you need to change that. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinks no evil, does not assume that if somebody's done something, they've done it for the wrong reason. Love does not assume and attribute evil to someone without the fact that, in fact, it was done out of evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. We don't promote sin. We don't brag about sin. We don't say, well, it's wrong to sin, but you know, when I was a young person, this is what we got into. No. We don't even speak of such things. You know, if you're a young person and you hear an older person say, you know, when I was young, this is what we used to do, and not that you should do that, it's wrong to do it and everything, but this is what we used to do, and oh, we had so much fun. No. But people do that. You know, what's your children thinking when they hear you talking like that? Well, I would be able to do that too and then stop doing it. And no, God doesn't want us to do any of that. Regret your iniquities. Rejoice in the truth. I was faced with this situation and I could have done the wrong thing, but I did the right thing because I focused on the will of God. That's what we need to teach our children. Those are the stories we need to tell our children. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So yes, we're to love our neighbor, but we're also to love our enemies. And we're certainly to love our husbands and our wives and our brothers and sisters in Christ. And you'll find out that if you haven't already, that if you focus on serving others, having a sincere interest in the welfare of your wife or your husband or your brother or your sister or the person that you work beside or you go to school with, the person you share the highways with, if you start living life loving one another, wanting what is best for them, and encouraging them to do what is best, and setting an example for them of what is best, you'll find out that your life is going to be good. If you want to love life and see good days, then love God and love others as you would have them love you. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're not a follower of Christ, you're not walking in love, let me say it this way, you're not walking in love. If you're not a Christian, you're not walking in love. Well, Doug, you can't say that. You can't say that I don't love. I can say you don't love God. If you're not keeping His commandments, you don't love God. And if you don't love God, you don't know love. You don't know what it means to empty yourself of yourself. You need to come to that point in your life to where you say, what I want is not important. What God wants is all important. And if you've come to that point in your life today, and you're ready to turn to Him and live for Him, and let Him see by the things that you do in your life in obedience to His commandments that you love Him, and obey Him this morning. Be baptized for the remission of your sins and begin walking with Him in newness of life. If you're here today as a child of God, and you find yourself in need of the prayers of your brothers and sisters on your behalf, let us pray with you and for you. We'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.
For the Bible tells me so, little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.